Hey, at Ted Cruz, if you need a stand-in against at Jimmy Kimmel, I know a guy.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble. We're going to be doing another 2018 NBA draft preview. We've already got two of those in the books, one with Sam Vecenie, one with Cole Zwicker. So I do highly encourage you guys to go and check those out. We're going to be covering a different bunch of prospects in today's show, and I am joined by another man who does a ton of work on the NBA draft. His name is Brian Schroeder. You also may know him by his Twitter alias, which is, of course, at Cosmos. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Look, we can't wait. It was four days, I think. I'm always getting my days wrong here. 4 days until the NBA draft is ready to go. You've done a ton of work on it. You've got your draft capsules, your mock draft up over at your Patreon. Do you want to give that a plug first, and people can go check out your stuff? Because your draft capsules are really very informative on these players.
Patreon.com/Cosmos. It's strong branding all around. I just try and keep it simple. Yep. I also, the reason I started doing it was I was doing it on my own, making a database just of general, like, per 40 stats. And at a certain point, I was like, why am I not, like, people will want to see this. Like, it's a lot of guys. It's like, it was at one point, like, 400. Now it's not like 280 or 290, but it's everybody who could conceivably be drafted.
Yeah, well, that's exactly, because there's always going to be weird players who you don't see in many mock drafts that end up getting drafted at some point. And Brian is also, you've already got a top 200 out for next season's draft as well, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah,
although that's a little less precise. It's really just like a top 25, and then just like a bunch of guys I've heard of.
Yep. Well, look, that's all going to be refined over the next 12 months or so. But there is a ton of stuff over on Brian's Patreon. I am a subscriber to his Patreon. You should be as well. We're going to talk about, look, we talked about a bunch of guys with Sam. We talked about a bunch of guys with Cole, and we're going to talk about another bunch of guys here with Brian. So we get a good overview of many different prospects. But Brian, you did implore me that you wanted to talk about someone who I spoke about with Sam. So I'm going to give you the floor to give me your thoughts on Melvin Frazier to begin things.
Melvin Frazier is incredible. I love him.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
Even if he's not a star, he's just fun. He's a fun player. He had probably my favorite dunk of the entire college basketball season when he dunked it on the entirety of North Carolina in a game. Just destroyed them. It was great.
So where do you see him as a first round sort of guy, a second rounder?
I keep mocking him to the Warriors because that just makes sense. They just grab that kind of guy. But yeah, I think he's at least my grade. I have him the same as Hutchinson and Kade Bates-Diop and Kyrie Thomas. So like late first would be fine.
So we look at guys like what Frazier can do as these, you know, wing players who are so extremely valuable in the NBA. He's a guy that's obviously super athletic. Plays defense. What's the downside as to him? What's he need to work on to become a regular rotation guy?
His ball handling in general, like he's a good passer, but he's very wild as a ball handler.
I guess it depends on what team he's fitting on, whether he has to do much of that sort of stuff, whether he can just go out there and get steals and work in transition and do all that sort of stuff that he is known for. His overall fantasy value doesn't project to be great, but he is one of those guys who can come in and be a rotation player. We see these guys who are picked at the end of the first, early second, which is going to be a lot of the guys we're talking about here, who come in and have immediate impacts. Jordan Bell, Dylan Brooks last season, Malcolm Brogdon, the rookie of the year before. There are always players in that 25, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, in that 25 to 45 range who have more impact than some of the guys who get selected in the teens. And they're the sort of guys that we're going to be talking about here. One guy I do want to start this show off with is an international player. Not a great stack of European prospects or international players coming into this draft outside of Luka Doncic, but this guy is a player who's quite intriguing to me. Eli Okobo, the French point guard, who played over in France this past season. He's a left-hander. What can you tell us about Okobo? Is he a guy that you think that can project to become a starting point guard in a couple of years? Is he a guy who's likely to come across to the NBA next season?
That's the thing about him. Compared to a lot of European guards, he's probably, like, I can't say this is any sort of insider information, but he's probably going to come over because he's so advanced as a ball handler and pull-up shooter. He might be the best pull-up shooter in the draft outside of Trae Young. Like, he's a killer off the dribble. And, like, a lot of European guards don't have that part of their games really worked out at all. He does, and he's a capable passer. I think he had, like, just under 7 assists per 40. Like, that's fine. He gets some steals, but he's not, like... He's not a good defender, but the thing he has that Sexton and Trae Young especially don't have is like, his frame. He's 6'3", 6'8", wingspan. He weighs 180, but he plays bigger. It's like when you look at Westbrook weighs 190, but he plays like he weighs 250. Physically, I think the good comparison is Lillard, where he's like, he might be a little overmatched as a finisher, but he's big. He's got good size. He's also just got, like, I forget who they were playing, but they were playing in the French League playoffs, and he was matched up against Aaron Kraft, and he's like the engine. He was the engine for that team, for Powell. So, like, he was the guy he was game planned against. He was the guy that they tried to take away, and he had 44 points on 17 shots. He destroyed Aaron Kraft. They couldn't stop him. There's a couple plays in that game where they tried to trap him at half court, and he just dribbled between two guys, got to the rim, and finished over the other three guys. And it's like, that's not a thing European guards usually do at this stage.
Yeah, like, you talk about, you know, Westbrook. Like, Okobo comes in, and he's already jacked. Like, he's got big arms, he's strong, he looks like a presence out on the court, he looks like he's in control of things, the shooting looks really nice. He's a guy that projects really well from my statistical translation stuff as well, that if he was in a starting role, which is not going to be the case, he's not going to come across and start straight away, but when he does, he's a guy that can be a top 100 type of fantasy guy who can get you five and a half, six assists, hit 2 threes, 15 points, solid percentages, good free throw shooter. There's a lot to like about him, and he's a player who I think will slip under some people's radars, maybe under some NBA GM's radars as well, but he is someone that's going to be very interesting for us to watch and see where he gets drafted.
You say he's not going to start, and he probably won't, but I actually think if the Knicks reached for him, or if the Suns took him, he probably could start because they have no point guards. Like, I don't think Brandon Knight's going to be beating him out in the starting rotation.
That's an interesting one. So if the Suns go 8 and then they get a Kobo at 16, yeah, look, that's, he's going to be obviously a step ahead of a guy like Shaq Harrison and Tyler Ulis, who were playing there down the stretch for Phoenix last season. So yeah, look, maybe that is the case. Maybe he is that mid-teens pick who is a starter and surprises people. So he's a name definitely for us to watch, and I think he can have a significant NBA career. Troy Brown out of Oregon, a guy that played a fair bit of point guard this last season. The shooting's a real worry though for him, isn't it?
And the athleticism. He's just not he's not an explosive athlete. He never was. He's got good size. He's got a good wingspan. I think he was the leading assist guy, and I think he was the second leading rebounder on that Oregon team. They weren't good, but he's got a lot of skill. I mean, two steals per 40, solid enough. He just has no... He's one of those guys, the shooting and the athleticism are tied together because he doesn't get lift on his shot at all. It's really going to be difficult for him to become like any kind of real shooter at the NBA level. I still like him. Like, he plays with a nice pace. The thing is, again, it's athleticism and defense are tied, so I don't know if he'll be like a plus defender. I would want him to be like a Tabo Sefolosha kind of guy. Maybe more of a ball handler, but he's going to need to try and just increase his overall quickness. That's the real flaw with him. I think he'd be a top 15 guy if he was faster. But
the Tabo Sefolosha stuff is basically almost the identical way he looks in terms of fantasy translations as well. A guy who's not going to score, who's going to get you some assists, he'll get you some rebounds, the nice steal numbers, but just not going to be an overall big contributor at all. And the scoring and shooting issue is a long-term concern when we're looking at a guy like Troy Brown. On the flip side, a guy whose shooting isn't really a concern at all is Kevin Huerta, who we've heard that news recently with the wrist ligament injury. I don't think that should be bothering any teams or dissuading any teams from drafting him. He's going to be fine. We're talking about a 10-year investment, not something, oh my God, he's going to be out for 2 months.
He won't be at Summer League, which is sad, because he probably would destroy Summer League. But
yeah, this is a guy who's just banging down threes from pretty much everywhere, but he can do more than just shoot threes.
He's a very good ball handler. That's where the Klay Thompson comparison falls flat. First off, he's not... Klay Thompson's probably the best spot-up shooter to ever play basketball. Like, Kevin Herter's not that level of a shooter, but he can handle the ball. You worry about defensively with him, same kind of worries you have with, like, Korver, where I just don't know if he's not strong or particularly fast, so... You know, he's never going to be a plus defender, I don't think. But the ball, he shoots, he's such an interesting release. It pops off of his hand. Like, it's his release point is really high, and it's really repeatable. But it's the only way I can describe it is as an electric shooter. Like, he just has this look. You feel like he's going to make it every time he shoots. And he had 64 true shooting percentage for a guy who took a lot of shots. And only 17 points, but he was, he's a late lottery, maybe mid-20s guy who could immediately be a contributor. Like, I know that the rumor was the Jazz had promised him. That'd be an amazing fit.
I think
the thing they need the most is an extra shooter.
I think the Bucks should be looking at him a little bit higher than that. Yeah, play him alongside Giannis. Give them someone who can shoot in that wing role when they'll, Tony Snell was getting those minutes and Sterling Brown was getting those minutes. If he can play alongside this, depending on what happens with Jabari Parker, but you're getting a shooter there, I think is an interesting spot. In terms of his overall fantasy value, his defensive stats are limited. Not the greatest free throw shooter, still pretty solid. Going to be, I guess, relatively one-dimensional, unless he can get those assists to 4 per game, which is going to be a stretch at some point.
It's not impossible.
Yeah, look, that's where his, I guess, avenue to relevancy in fantasy is getting that ball handling, which is there. The talent is there, but can he be in a situation where the team is requiring him to do that? Because you can have that talent, but they're not needed to do it and playing just an off-ball spot-up role. But if he's in a bench role, you are going to run things for moments at time. He's nowhere near the same player of Stanley Johnson, but we see Stanley Johnson sometimes in Detroit running that second unit and distributing it. But when he plays with the starters, he doesn't touch the ball really at all. So it really is quite dependent on how those skills can develop, as opposed to what team you're on and what situation you are in. Now, you mentioned before Keita Bates Diop. I'm not massively high on him. His draft range seems to be quite wide. People are talking about him going. I've seen some people say top 15. I've seen some people say in the 40s. Where are you valuing him? Is his game something that the modern NBA is really after? How much of a concern is the age factor?
The age is a concern if you want him to be like a high level starter. I think he's a 4. I think that's what he should be. And I think his stats are slightly inflated by the fact that he was the only wing guy on that entire Ohio State team, and he would just bully people. Like, he was just bigger and stronger than other wings. But I think he's a 4. I mean, he's got a 7'3 wingspan. He's like 6'8", 230. He can shoot. I just don't think the quickness is really... I would be very, very concerned about him switching around on defense, is the thing. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be a fine defender, but I don't think he'll be... I mean, it's... Yeah, I just don't think he's going to be a big-time defensive presence on the perimeter. I think he's going to have to be a 4. And you could draft him in the 20s and just get a solid role player. I know the Timberwolves have been mocked there a lot. He's the kind of guy Tibbs loves, so maybe that would be where he goes. But I don't think there's really, even compared to guys like Hutchinson or Troy Brown or even like Okogie or even Jacob Evans, there's like almost no star potential there, I don't think. Like, there's almost no way that Bates Diop is ever like a even like Chris Middleton level player.
He's 22 years of age already now. Yeah. When his fantasy translations come across pretty nicely for a guy who's a pretty good free throw shooter, not bad from the field, but in large part that's to do with the large block rate that he had in college. Is there a reasonable expectation that he can be a solid enough shot blocker in the NBA, or is that a product of environment only and he could struggle in the NBA with size and scheme?
He's got a good wingspan, That's the other reason. If he plays 4, he'll be able to come over on the weak side a little more and block some shots. And I think he'll be doing fine on it.
And that's, if you're looking at a guy then who could maybe give you 1.5, 1.7 blocks per 36, that's a useful fantasy type contributor. He's got to bring the other parts of his game, the defense, the shooting's got to be there, but he's got an overall, decent enough game. It's like when we compare him to guys like, Kevin Herter, if on a per minute basis, Bates Diop's overall fantasy value is larger than Herter's is, but, which one is likely to get more minutes, and that's where the trade-off happens between players.
For the most part, I'm really reticent to put a lot of faith in older prospects who didn't start shooting until they were seniors.
Oh, same. Yep.
Hutchinson's kind of the same way, but he's a better athlete, and I think that'll help him more. He's more of a three. Where Bastrop is, I think he kind of, it's kind of like Kevin Knox. I think he has to be a four. I don't really think he can, you can put, throw him out there against twos and threes and really hope that he, like, I just think he's a four.
Oh, he's going to, if he has to play against twos, there's going to be real trouble. Let's go on to the next guy, a guy that I want you to dispel some stereotypical myths, and that is Dante DiVincenzo. Everyone looks at him, goes, white guy. Okay, so that must mean he is JJ Redick. That must mean he is Kyle Korver. That must mean he's an unathletic, poor defender who shoots threes. Yep, he's not. Like, how is he different to that horrible stereotype?
He handled the ball a lot more than Redick ever would have in college. I'm of two minds about him because I think he's really talented. He had the best vert at the combine. He's an excellent athlete, and that really played on the tape too. If you watch that title game, where Michigan is one of the best defensive teams in the country, and he was blowing by their defenders. Everyone they put on him, Xavier Simpson, Charles Matthews, those are both good defenders. Muhammad Ali Abdulrahman, like they couldn't stay in front of him. He's very quick. He doesn't have great length, so he's probably just a two. But like I said, he was a good ball handler. He handled the offense a lot when Jalen Brunson was on the bench because they didn't really have anyone else. And he put up, 4.6 assists per 40. Didn't turn the ball over that much. Like, he has some, I mean, I guess Redick does have that now, but he didn't in college, not at this stage. DiVincenzo, his draft slot is weird because you see him 17, 18, and then you see him 35. So I think he probably end up in the 20s. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston took him, honestly. That might be a good fit. They just need an extra guard, and that's what he does.
Yeah, look, talk about they could lose a guy like Marcus Smart perhaps as well. Maybe he can slot in there and just be that extra guard guy ahead of some of those other players. They've got Kadeem Allen, Jabari Bird as their two-way guys as those backup guard players. So perhaps he's there. Look, I do... The free throw shooting wasn't great in college, and that's something that we know can be quite predictive in terms of overall three-point shooting in the NBA. So I guess that's somewhat of a concern for DiVincenzo coming across. But the ball handling is really interesting. Again, don't just put these guys into this same category of JJ Redick and Kyle Korver and any other white guy that you can see. Like, he's just not that guy. He is athletic.
I think he struggles from the line the same reason that Huerter does. It's that they're pull-up shooters a lot of the time, and that's just, it's a different style of shooting.
Yeah, I'm
never too worried about the free throw shooting unless it's below 70. I know that's an arbitrary cutoff, but if it's a guy who's going to be any kind of shooter in the NBA who shoots below 70, I'm always a little worried.
What was his exact college number? It was close to 70, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 71, but okay. He had a good free throw rate. Like, I'm not that worried about it. I think he'll be. He definitely has NBA range. Like, he absolutely has NBA range. So,
well, let's talk about someone who definitely has NBA range, and that is Aaron Holiday, the third of the Holiday brothers after Drew and Justin, one of the best shooters in the draft. But can he do anything else to keep himself on a court?
It's weird because he doesn't play like he looks like a Holiday brother. Like any UCLA game I saw, I immediately picked him out. I was like, oh, here's the guy who looks like. Looks like Justin Holiday. It looks like Drew Holiday. He doesn't really play like one. Like he plays a little more like Darren Collison, maybe. But like, I don't know. I'm. He's another guy I'm of two minds of because I think he could be a very, very good bench guard. I just don't really think. I think his pedigree is tricking people into thinking he's like a two way guy. I'm not sure if he is. I don't think he's a very good defender. I mean, UCLA was a bad team, so maybe that's unfair.
He's not.
He was their best player.
He's only 6'1", so he's not. Drew Holiday's a big guard. Like, Aaron's not that size. Yeah, he shot the ball well, and he's not quite that same guy.
No, Justin's pretty big too for a small three. He's got a good size. I don't know. He's an interesting guy. He has huge free throw rate. That's a good thing, a real positive for him because he's fast. I mean, he's a Holiday. But he had, he had negative defensive box score plus minus, which is hard to do in college.
Yep.
I don't know. I think the Bucks pick, like you mentioned, they need someone who can shoot. I like Okobo for them. If he makes it, Herter'd be good. So, I mean, if nobody else is around, I'd take him there. But I honestly have him well behind the top group of point guards, which is Trey and Shea and Sexton. Okobo, even like Javon Carter and Jalen Brunson, I think they have better paths to being good pros than he does. Maybe even a guy like Landry Shamet I might like more than him. I like Landry Shamet a lot, though. Yeah,
Landry Shamet's an excellent shooter. Who's the best shooter in this draft? Is it Trae Young?
It's Trae.
And who's next? Is it Shamet?
It might be Shamet. Yeah, it could be him. It could be. I mean, honestly, it could be a Kobo just because his contested percentage is so high. Holiday's definitely in the second or third group, though. Like, he's an excellent shooter. Grayson Allen's with that group, as much as I dislike him personally.
Is it anyone who likes Grayson Allen? Like, just is anyone who doesn't get irritated by him? But look, he's going to be a first round player. Like, I'm almost certain of it.
Mike Krzyzewski does.
Well, let's talk Grayson Allen, because he's almost not definite, but he is going to be a first round pick, I would think.
Yeah, the narrative is too strong. The name brand. I mean, like, he can shoot. He handle the ball a decent amount for them. He's probably going to be a passable defender. Like, he'll probably be a solid role player. And maybe that'll help him. I mean, it's the same thing with Redick. Redick has always said, looking back, he understands, like, he hated himself too as a college. Like, just something about Duke makes people into that. But I don't know. I'm just not a fan of Grace. Like, just the personality, the game. I'm not a. I'm a wingspan guy. I love long guys who, you know, can use their length well on the defensive end and block shots and all that. And Greg Allen's kind of a one-way player in that way.
Yeah, he's not coming out and blocking shots. That's for sure.
He's old. I mean, there's a reason he didn't come into the draft after his freshman year. But, you know, in the 20s, you aren't really looking for a star. You can get a role guy. That's fine.
And then it's not gonna hurt you. That's pretty much what he is. He's not an upside sort of a player. He's just a guy who can come in and contribute, you know, shoot a little bit, but yeah, there's still nothing that looks great there for him. From a
5.2 assists, 40 though.
Yeah, that's again, was one of these guys that can play at the one, play at the two, and you know, handle the ball and be that sort of cross positional type of guy who can offer you some interesting production at times. Now, Josh Okogie, you've talked about him. We mentioned him already. He's a guy that I've seen, again, wild variance in where he's going to go. You've got him relatively high on your big board. What's your major concern with him, or what's your major where you go, yeah, this is what's going to get him an NBA career?
He's an explosive athlete. He's an upside guy. He's not Donovan Mitchell. Like, his game is different, but he's got the Donovan Mitchell second jump, where he puts back so many of his own misses. And, like, he's got the same kind of length. He doesn't have the fluidity as a finisher. He doesn't have he's not that level of a shooter. He's a good shooter, though. And he became a pretty good shooter. I actually think, I just don't know how the defense will translate to bigger players, because he's not very big. He's got a great wingspan. He's dense. He's like Gerald Henderson, where he's just very thick. But Gerald Henderson had the same problems. Like, you couldn't really put him on fours or three, even like bigger threes. But I mean, Okogie has low end star upside, like more than most of the other wings in this class, because athleticism does not equal upside all the time, but sometimes it does.
Especially when you come in with a high steal rate, like that's always a really good sign. He had a pretty, for a 6'4 guard wing, huge wingspan, big block rate, big steal rate. These are the things that made me go about Donovan Mitchell last season. Hey, keep an eye on this guy. I think he should be, in terms of, you know, dynasty leagues, taken well above where his draft slot is. And I think that Josh is going to be similar, because you're coming in with big steal, big block rate, decent scoring, solid rebounding, extreme athleticism.
He's,
the upside
to tied for the biggest wingspan, like the differential wingspan differential in of all the wings in my database with Melvin Frazier.
What is he, plus 8?
Eight, yeah.
Yeah, that's in, so you say 6'4 with a 7 foot wingspan. Like, that's pretty big. That's when you're getting, and you talk about even a guy like Josh Richardson who as a guard can come in and get steals in big amounts and get blocks in big amounts and be this impact defender, and then the offensive game comes along. Like, Richardson's another one of these guys that I should have referenced earlier. These players who were picked in the early to mid second round who come in and become legitimate players straight away. There are going to be these guys, and I think that Okogie is one of those guys who can do that. Really interested to see how he goes. Team fit's going to be important there, but there's no reason that he can't come in and be a rotation guy pretty much, you know, in the first couple of months of the season.
Another decent comp, and player comps are always tricky, but like if David Nwaba can be a solid rotation player, Josh Okogie can too, and he's a better shooter.
Yep. And there's significantly more upside there, of course, with Okogie versus Nwaba. Jerome Robinson. a guy who seems to be getting a little bit of buzz at the moment.
I don't get it.
I don't really get it either. But it is. It's happening. We're seeing him. Like, I saw some mock. He's going to 15.
He might go in the top 20. He got invited to the green room. Now, I like him. Like, I don't think he's significantly worse than, like, DiVincenzo or Devontae Graham or Allen or any of those level guys. But that's the level he is. Like, I always thought he was an early second rounder because he just can't play defense at all. And, I mean, doesn't really get steals. He's a scorer, but he's a volume scorer. He shot a good percentage, but he's gonna you're gonna have to really trust that he's gonna be like a star level scorer. Like, he's not better at it than Malik Monk. And Malik Monk struggled mightily as a rookie.
Yeah, and Malik Monk also had the playmaking ability that we saw develop at the end of that rookie season as well. Is Robinson? He averaged 3.8 assists per 40. Like, that's not a big number.
Yeah, Kai Bowman was their playmaker last year. I kind of wish he'd come out. He's a really versatile kind of player. I don't know. Robinson's he could just be the kind of guy who's a really electric college scorer, but then just becomes like a 10, 12 point a game guy in the NBA and doesn't really do anything else well enough to be anything more than just a guy.
He's a good free throw shooter, which is a positive, but yeah, steal and block rates are miserable. Rebound rates, miserable. Assist rates, not high.
If you picked him in the 30s, you'd get like a fourth guard, but I don't really see it. I think he's probably having great workouts is the thing. He's big. He can play a little bit of point. I just don't think he can play point guard. It's the problem.
There's a lot of dumb shit that's going on currently in the NBA. Into all, there's going to be dumb shit going on with drafting and trading. So just be ready for some weird stuff to go down.
If I had to take a combo guard with like scoring potential, if I really wanted one of those guys, I'd take Anthony Simons over him.
Well, that's
without question.
That takes me on to Simons, a guy that we don't really know a huge amount about. Of course, we didn't see him in college. So what do we make of him? Because there's a couple of these guys. There's Mitchell Robinson, two guys who didn't play this last season. He's 6'3", 19 years of age. You know, athleticism.
Well, he didn't play.
Is there.
It's not college.
He didn't play against high level competition. So what did we see from him? You know, is he a point guard? Is he a combo guard? Like, what is he?
He might be a true combo guard, like Lou Williams. And that's not the comparison I want to make, but that like he can legitimately play both positions. And he could be that kind of scorer in time. It's going to take a while. I think any team that has more than one first-round pick should look at him, or a team like the Nets, who just need talent. Because he was a top 10. He was probably going to be a top 10 recruit this year. He's really bouncy. He's really got really tight dribble for his age. He can shoot. But, you know, the question is, can he do anything else? But I know Robinson can't. I don't know. Maybe Simons can. That's the question. You know.
And you're looking at a guy who is really young here with that upside.
One of the youngest guys.
Yeah, he's extraordinarily. Okay, when does he turn 20? It's not for a long time.
No, almost basically 51 weeks from now. Yeah. Next June.
Yeah, so we're talking about a real young guy who you're probably not going to see much of at all next season. But yeah, look, really got that ability and that athleticism, some decent size to develop into an interesting type player who could be an impactful fantasy guy. Just someone to keep an eye on, even though
a true prospect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
You gotta develop.
Kyrie Thomas. I don't know what
I like him.
I don't know what I feel about him at this point.
He's got a weird set of skills though, because he's not a ball handler, even though he's 6'3". He's a good shooter, a very good shooter, but he might just be a spot-up shooter. He's a good defender, like he's a lockdown defender, but he was actually like really efficient in transition, but he won't be in transition, you know, because he's not a ball handler, so I don't really know what to think about him. He rebounds a lot for a guy that small, though. Like, he's a very good rebounder for a guard. He's got good steal rates. He's almost 20. He's 23, though. He's 22. He'll be 23 next year. I don't know if I like him in the top 20, but like Boston, even Golden State, like, do you need Boston? Really, is a good fit for him. I don't know if they'd take him, but like, do you just need a surplus guard who can the 3D? It's what he is. He's just there's some weird statistics around the edges with him. There's some weird stats that make him feel kind of like a risk when he shouldn't be. So I'm not really sure either. But I like, I mean, he plays hard. I like the way he plays, but
His steal rate is obviously encouraging, 2 steals per 40 minutes. He's an okay rebounder. Yeah, he can hit the three. The efficiency stuff was really good as well. He's probably never going to be a guy that develops into a star or a high-level starter or anything like that, but there's nothing to say that he can't, you know, forge a, you know, role as a mid-20s minute sort of 3-and-D type of guy who bangs in two threes.
There will definitely be players drafted ahead of him who he outlasts in the NBA. I just don't know how... It's kind of like, I don't know, Wayne Ellington's not a good... But, like, Wayne Ellington was never a high-level prospect, and he was never considered a star, but he's still around.
Yep, he's gonna get some money this offseason as well, Wayne Ellington. Let's see which direction we go here with some of these players. Let's go to Gary Trent Jr., another one of these. And I've said this, you know, often when talking about this draft, is that last season, around this area in the draft where these guys are all... projected to go, we saw a lot of big men going off the board. Now it's going to be just a runs on guards and wings, as it should be, because that's what's really valuable in the NBA. He's 19 years old, played at Duke, you know, 6'6", decent size, shooting, strong, yeah, but can he do anything else apart from that?
That's really the question. It's a really weird mix of guys, because there's a lot of wings in this area who can't shoot, or maybe don't profile as great shooters, but do a lot of other things, like Troy Brown. And then there's guys like Big Trent, who can shoot and can't really do anything else, but he'll get drafted. It's weird that I mentioned Ellington when he's the Ellington-looking guy in this draft. He's a little bigger, but like he can shoot.
Yep.
He can really shoot coming off of screens, coming off of curls, dribble handoff stuff. He was a good weapon for Duke. I mean, he was a bad defender, but they're Duke.
Yep.
They don't care about that.
They do not. And look, that's going to be the struggle. But there are players who struggle with defense all the time, but at least they can hit shots. You talk about a guy like Troy Daniels, like who gets minutes in the NBA because he knocks down threes. He can't do anything else. He can't do a single thing else, but he gets a regular role and he can knock down 2 threes a game. And perhaps Trent could be that guy. The percentages weren't fantastic in college, but obviously limited.
He had a big 3-point rating. Like that, he only shot threes. So yep. Anywhere around 40, it's encouraging.
And your, you know, when your usage dips, sometimes your efficiency can rise. He's not going to be taking on the exact same offensive load that he had in college, so that's always a positive when we're looking at a guy him there. Got a bunch.
He's a guy. I think if Philly goes with either trades picks, just grab a guy like that. Like you can always use an extra shooter. Like who knows if they're going to play Furkan Korkmaz ever? Luau hasn't really panned out. Justin Anderson can't really shoot, so you know.
This is the time where you need to be drafting these guys. Like you talked about Sterling Brown before. Like just guys on the wing there, like just someone who can give you something rather than, you know, players who aren't necessarily going to be, you know, contributors or struggle to do things. These wing guys who you can just throw in and get 15 minutes out of occasionally, 20 minutes sometimes, and, you know, big games, and guys like that are important.
Yeah.
He's not a great fantasy looking player. Doesn't do much, you know, with the kind of get assists or rebounds or steals. There's a whole bunch of stuff that he can't do, and that's what limits his overall upside there. But he's going to obviously be drafted and a useful player at times throughout his NBA career. We're getting into, you know, a lot of these second round guys here. Let's look at Kenrich Williams. What can you tell us about him?
There's a real chance. I think Cole's pretty high on him. He has. Significant role player potential, because he would stand for that TCU team. He was their main initiator, really, and he was their main perimeter defender. And he shoots, he rebounds, he plays good defense. The problem is he's just really dumb. He's like a Jared Dudley body. He's just kind of goofy looking. He's not very athletic. He doesn't have a long wingspan. But he can play basketball. Like, he's really good. So I feel like he's going to be a second-round guy who makes an immediate impact for somebody, especially if they need wing. Just a wing who can do things. I mean, he's almost 24, so he better make a immediate impact. But he's got, I think, let's see here. Of all the wings I have listed, of which there are 70, he has... 11th in rebounds per 40, and some of those guys are full-time fours, like Bonzi Colson and Michael Porter, who played, you know, 45 minutes or whatever.
He averaged 10.5 rebounds per 40 minutes, which obviously a strong number for a wing. 4.5 assists per 40, good number. 2 steals, really good number. 0.6 blocks, just really good.
Player. He's a very smart player.
The shooting stuff is not fantastic for him. Like, he could obviously be more efficient there, but he's not going to be asked to take on large offensive loads. And doing those other things can be useful. And as you said, some guys who can get consistent roles for a long time in the NBA, which is what he can be when you're talking about this range of players. Yeah, that's obviously a useful skill to have. So he's going to be interesting, especially with that rebound assist steal combo. Not a real common combination in fantasy necessarily, especially for those low end guys. And if he can do that at a high rate, then that's a pretty interesting skill set that he can bring to the table. Who else do we want to talk about here? Javon Carter.
What do we make? I love him.
Yep. Okay.
I don't know what kind of NBA career he's going to have. He could just be a backup. But he has, again, second round guys or even late first round guys, you're looking for elite skill. Like, what do they have that separates them? He has, and this is not an exaggeration, he has Jason Kidd level hands. He has some of the best hands I've ever seen from a college player, where he just takes the ball from people and he never loses his dribble. I mean, he's a very good rebounder for a guy who's barely 6 foot. He shredded the 5-on-5s of the combine, as I knew he would, because he's just a good basketball player. He looks like and plays like a 12-year vet. So I think I really want the Sixers to get him. Like, if we just want them to be their maximum selves, he could just be their Derek Fisher, where he can just play a lot of point guard minutes. I mean, they'd have 4 point guards who can all play minutes if they got him, because I like T.J. McConnell. Fultz will probably play more minutes next year. And Javon and Simmons, obviously. So, like, that's a very interesting combination. He averaged 5.6 assists or rebounds per 40. He's 6 foot tall. He's just good. He 3.3 steals, ridiculous steals guy. Shot, you know, he can shoot. He's not a very comfortable looking shooter. He's kind of seems like a little uncomfortable. People want to use the Patrick Beverley comparison. He's not that kind of athlete. Patrick Beverley is a ridiculous athlete for his size. But Javon is just very strong. I thought, like, Derek Fisher, Lindsey Hunter even, that's like an interesting comparison. That kind of player. Like, he will almost certainly at some point in his career find himself as like the 7th or 8th guy on a contender. Hopefully it's next year with the Sixers. That's my hope.
When I'm looking at these guys and translating these numbers, and guys who are subscribers to my Patreon can see these, you know, just really raw translation numbers. He comes out extraordinarily high because of the assist numbers, because of the really high steal rate, because of his, you know, really good free throw percentage. He hits threes. The scoring's all right. He's a guy that in a big role, like, those steal numbers are, yeah, they're always a good indicator. People, I say that all the time, but you can get those big steal numbers. It's huge for fantasy, and it is huge for being a guy. It shows a level of, not necessarily IQ, but an ability to stick in the NBA and be useful and probably outperform where you go in the draft. That seems to be a relatively common occurrence for these sort of guys. So Javon Carter is potentially...
After Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's the guy I think will outperform. He's the guard I think will outperform his draft slot the most, because he could be taken in the 40s, and he could very easily be a top 20 player in this draft.
That's very interesting to hear that. So he's a name that you guys do have to pay some attention to. Now I want to go to an international player, a guy that was in the draft last season, pulled out last minute, Rodion Kuroks.
I haven't seen as much of him as I should, but there was interesting news about him. I think it was today or yesterday that he successfully renegotiated his buyout. It's made a lot cheaper. So he thinks he wants to come over. That's what that means. Like, he can shoot. I've seen enough of him to know that. He's a good shooter. He's good combo forward size. Get some steals and get some assists, you know, and enough that he knows what he's doing. Not an excellent rebounder, but probably good enough to be a stretch four in the NBA.
Yeah. You said about his steals, like, his steal rate was pretty decent. He only played 15 minutes per game, but averaged 1.2 steals. So we're talking about, yeah, per 40 minutes, yeah, over 3 per 40 minutes. That's a significantly high steal rate. Doesn't really get much in terms of assists, but, you know, shooting is okay, but that steal rate is really interesting for a guy like Kuroks. Again, a 6'9 wing.
His swing skill is going to be, if he's really a good real shooter, I think he could stick. And it sounds like he wants to come over this year, like I said, so that's probably drives his draft value up a little bit. That's usually what the, how that happens.
Unless you're the Sixers who have six picks and four second rounders, and they're looking for those guys that can they can stick over there. So maybe they'll be out of the Rodions Kuroks draft sweepstakes. Yeah, it's a fun name to write as well. Feels Rodions. It feels like a flower. It's very floral. It's very very flora-ish. So yeah, I'm all about his name. Now let's talk about another guard. Again, there's tons of guards we're talking about here. Bruce Brown from Miami, 21 years of age. You know, I'm not sold on him.
He was hurt pretty much all year. I don't know. He was a guy who was maybe top 10, 12 pick coming into the season and just was not good. But he still has an interesting mix of skills. He played three positions in college. He should be able to shoot. Like he just didn't shoot last year at all. But like he handled the ball a little bit. He's a good rebounder. I could see late first. Like, okay, I don't know what he shot. See what he shot 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that question if you've got a record of it.
The Basketball Reference does. Yeah, he took 34% from three and 75, a little under 75 from the line. This year he shot 27% from three and 63% from the line. Like, he just wasn't right all year. For his sake, I hope he's closer to the former than the latter, or else he's probably not an NBA player. But I could see late first for him. Somebody's got, like, he's big, he's got great size.
Strong rebound, right?
Big frame. He's a big, just a big guy. He's a big combo guard. And those guys, you know, Rodney Stuckey, he doesn't play like that, but like Rodney Stuckey was a big combo guard. Those guys always have value if they develop properly. I'm just not sure, not really sure what to think of him because the stats this year are just bad. He was just bad. Yeah. He wasn't good.
But you do have to factor that injury in. Like it's a big drop off from what he did the year before. Did increase his rebound rate, but that really shooting drop off.
They made the Miami even made the tournament with him and Lonnie Walker both noticeably hurt all year. They're only two really talented guys, and Dwan Huell. But like, yeah, that weird team. I'm not really sure what to think of either of them.
Let's go right off the board here and talk about a guy that people will know through name recognition, and that's because his brother is currently in the NBA, and that's Kostas Antetokounmpo, who played for Dayton last season. Is he a draftable player?
Yeah. I mean, he's 6'10". He's a good athlete. He has some skill. I mean, Giannis is my favorite player. I want Kostas to be good. He was not good this year. Just looked like he'd never played basketball. He was very raw.
There's another Antetokounmpo brother coming who's better, isn't there? I don't remember his name. It's in my head.
Alex. Okay. He's the guy who plays point guard and like is a three-point shooter, but has the same size. So he's going to be a big prospect in a couple of years. But Kostas is closer to Thanasis than Giannis on the scale.
Yeah, well, that's never a great thing.
He'll probably get drafted. You know, see if he can develop. He's not that old yet. He's got good size. It's just sort of a... Maybe he doesn't have the feel, you know. Some guys don't.
You've mentioned Devontae Graham a couple of times, point guard from Kansas, and not an overly sized player, and I think that's being generous. No, he's 6'1".
Very small. He could shoot. Yep. He plays, I mean, he's a willing defender. You don't play Kansas if you don't try to play defense. He's fast. I think he has some backup point guard utility, maybe a Fred VanVleet type.
You've got in your player comps here DJ Augustin, who we've seen when he gets opportunities, like especially later part of his career, he comes out, he shoots, he controls thing offensively, struggles defensively, and that's the sort of thing that he's not going to be a lottery pick like DJ was, but if he can come out there and bang down threes and distribute the ball and run things for short stints of time, like that's a useful skill. And we've seen it in the fantasy world. When DJ Augustin pushes to 30 minutes a night, as he did at times in Chicago, he did it a little bit this season in Orlando. There was another stop somewhere else where he did it. Oh, Detroit, he did it as well. Like he's a useful player. And I'm not saying that necessarily Graham's going to be that, but an assist combination, decent steal rate, good shooting. You put that into a larger role, it translates, and I can imagine those things happening. It's just that, do I see him being a 7-year starter in NBA? Yeah, probably not.
No. I like the Detroit fit. I think that's where I had on my last mock, and like that's, you know, they need guards who aren't Ish Smith who can play minutes, and he can do that. He's 23, so he'd better.
Yeah. That's always the issue. I'm always so scared off of these older players. Now, I've got a couple of guys here I want to go through.
In the second round, I don't mind older players.
That's true. Like, especially if they can come in and be ninth men pretty much immediately and contribute for 4 or 5 years at that level. That's fine. Now, you've got a couple of guys left that I do really want to touch on here. USC, big man, Chimezie Mutu. Again, a really fun name to say. That's really key in terms of guys who are going to get drafted. I need funness out of the names. I know Sam Vecenie's pretty high on him. How do you see Mutu?
I'm not as sure. I mean, he's fairly productive. He just look at his assist rate. Like, he has no feel for the game. He's a good athlete. He's got decent size. He could probably shoot. He might end up being one of those guys who's more like a combination of skills that never comes together, like Adrian Payne, just never really figured out Adrian Payne had skill, good athlete, but just never. I mean, he could stop raping people, apparently, but other than that, Mutu is like, he could be like the James Young of big men, where it's like, you watch him for 10 minutes, you think he's going to be a star, and then you. But, he's worth being picked. He'll get picked.
Yeah, look, he's
somebody developing.
6'11", big man. Blocks some shots at a decent enough rate. Yeah, the rebounding is okay. It's not fantastic. He's solid enough. You know, only 7% offensive rebound rate, 21% defensive rebounding rate.
It's a good pick. It could be a real... I mean, he probably would have had a better year if De'Anthony Melton had been able to play. Because they just didn't... Their only point guard was Jordan McLaughlin, who is a shooter. A good shooter, actually. Probably a good undrafted guy to watch for. But Mutu, I don't love him. I don't dislike him. I just think he could be good, but he's probably a second rounder at the highest.
What about Tony Carr? I've seen some people mock this guy real high, like top 20s, which...
He got killed by the combine. Because he could play. He could shoot. I mean, per 40, he's 23, 5.4, 5.4. Like, that's pretty good. He just, he tested horribly at the combine. Like, just unathletic. Like, one of the worst shuttle times, had no quickness. The question with him was already, like, does he play defense? And that's, like, a bad, like, it's definitely enough to be worrisome. I think it drops him out of the first round, probably, unless the Lakers still take him. I know they liked him. He could shoot. I don't know. Who does he guard? Because, like, the shuttle time, I think that's why it hurt him, was that he was probably projected to be more of a point guard. But, like, if he's that slow, like, that lack of lateral quickness, he's going to get killed by point guards. I still like him. Like, he can play basketball. He was the best guy on that team. And they were pretty good. Josh Reeves might have been better, but he was the most important guy on that team. He was their, he was their engine. I like to call guys offensive engines. Like, Trae Young is an engine. That's why I want him to go to Orlando, because they need something.
Oh, yeah, they need it badly.
Carr is... he's still an interesting prospect. Like, he's skilled. He just may not be an NBA athlete. Like Lamar Patterson. I mean, more skilled than that. Lamar Patterson just is not an NBA athlete. He has skill. Brad Wanamaker. All those Pittsburgh guys.
Tony Carr shot 43% from three last year. He averaged 5 rebounds and 5 assists, but again, just a pitifully low steal rate, no blocks, the athleticism concerns. He is 6'5", so maybe he transitions to more of an off-ball guy and can knock down those shots and be that secondary creator type of guy with that bigger size, 6'5". But that's a real worry, that not being able to do anything in that defensive zone, and then the athleticism concerns are really a problem for him in terms of where he goes. And he's not going to be a guy that's really ever going to be able to find himself. I don't think in a large role, the translational stuff for fantasy is not good either, especially with those lack of defensive numbers that he does, or as the case may be, does not bring. I sent you a list of players here, Brian. Is there anyone that we haven't spoken about? One guy there that you really want to get some thoughts out on?
Maybe a couple. I kind of like Devon Hall from Virginia. It's just like a extra wing. He played at Virginia, so he knows what he's doing. They make good guys. I like Kevin Hervey. I'm not really sure if he's a 4, but he can shoot. He could be like Anthony Tolliver.
Well, Anthony Tolliver is clearly a really useful player, and Hervey's a guy that really
shots. you can help.
Exactly. And he's a guy again who looks pretty nice coming out of the translational numbers that I've got as well. Not nothing spectacular. I'm not talking about, you know, Doncic, Taron Jackson level, yeah, translational numbers, but yeah, solid enough. Yep. He's an interesting guy to look at and be worth maybe one of those guys that in terms of fantasy dynasty value is higher than what his draft position is.
A couple more guys. I haven't seen Yusuf Sanon play enough, but I know a lot of people who really like him, and he's a very good athlete. If he could be a good stash guy in the second round, Sixers. Vincent Edwards, I think, will be in the NBA for a long time. He's 6'8". He can play both four positions. He can rebound. He can shoot. He'll probably be in the NBA for 7 or 8 years. Alize Johnson from Missouri State was extremely productive. One of the best rebounders per 40 in the draft. Probably second only to Jared Vanderbilt as far as like that kind of guy goes. But the difference is Jared Vanderbilt has no touch, and Alize Johnson can shoot and also ran pick and rolls, and like ran on the break would handle the ball. Let's see here. Yeah, 19.3 points, 14 rebounds, 3.7 assists. But like he ran, like he held the ball a lot for that team. The shooting is interesting. He's kind of old. He's one of those guys who was a. He went to Missouri State, like I said. He was one of those guys who was a like a 3-star point guard and then grew 7 inches.
His block rate is not good though.
No, yeah, I just don't think he knows how to play defense. But he could be an interesting like a guy. Maybe put him in the G League and see what he becomes. He's definitely a second rounder. And then Theo Pinson, I like, out of North Carolina, another guy who has some creation ability for a wing. Can rebound, plays strong defense. Just a big dude. Big guy. Dunks everything. Has real role player potential. But then the number one guy. He may not be drafted, but he is one of my favorite players in the draft. Is Ijen Penava from Marshall. I love Ijen Penava. I wish we had real measurements on his wingspan, because I've seen it reported at 7'6", which I don't believe.
That seems large.
But... He definitely has a plus wingspan, but he played. He was just kind of a guy for his first 2 years, and then Dan D'Antoni took over, and suddenly he's put up 21 points, 11.5 rebounds, 2.6 assists, 1.3 steals, 5.2 blocks per 40. One of the best shot blockers in this draft, probably second to Jaren as far as just like actual utility as a shot blocker. Shot 34% from three. Another guy, he handled the ball on the break and is like a good passer. Like he makes good passes. Shot 75% from the line. The problem is he's not strong. He's very skinny. He gets pushed around a lot. He would use his wingspan to compensate for that. He's got good touch around the rim, but if he can gain maybe 15-20 pounds of muscle, I think he's a legitimate role guy, like a legitimate role big who can do everything you want a big to do. I kind of hope Houston grabs him because he's been proven he can play in an D'Antoni system. Worst case, he's probably going to be at Summer League. I'd imagine somebody will pick him up, and he just has such a weird skill set. Like, he's another guy. I think he was a wing when he came to the U.S. to try and start playing basketball, and then he grew 6 inches and has that same fluidity to his, you can tell, like, Jaren has that. Bamba has that, even if he has strength concerns. But they just move well. They know how to move. Ayton has that. I really like Ijen Penava. I don't think he'll be drafted. I haven't seen him anywhere around mocks for a while. I had him in the low 30s for a while. I moved him down just to compensate for his apparent... Nobody's interested in him, apparently, but... I really, really like him. He's a fun basketball player.
I'm glad you mentioned him, because I talked about how these fantasy type translations work. The number one guy, I did 164 different guys. The number one guy was Jaren Jackson. The number three guy was Luka Doncic. The number two guy was Penava. Yeah. Just he based was, on yeah, per 30 translations across, like block rate, steals, rebounds, hits threes, good field goal percentage, good free throws.
Worst case he's gonna go to Europe and be a star big. Yep. Like a star.
He's definitely someone you gotta just watch what happens.
Yeah. I really want to see him at Summer League. He's one of the guys I want to see the most at Summer League, because he's gonna almost certainly be there. He wants to be an NBA player. A lot of times, like, wouldn't be surprised if Ayton didn't play. I don't think Doncic will play because he's still playing basketball right now.
You don't think Ayton will play?
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. Like, okay.
Or maybe just like a couple of games. Because
Simmons
played nearly the whole time that I think he missed maybe one or two games when he was there. Lonzo played pretty much the whole time.
Anthony Davis didn't play because he was on the Olympic team, but that's not really fair.
Yep.
I would be like Porter may not, you know, I don't like Porter very much, but he may not play. They may want to hold him out for medical reasons. Like I said, I'd be surprised if Doncic played at some point.
He's still playing now.
At some point he's going to have to like not play basketball for a few weeks so he can recover his legs. So maybe some of the later like European guys won't come over, but Penova will be there for sure. Jalen Brunson will be there. He'll be fun. You know, Shea will be there. He can snake his way around some pick and rolls.
The other good thing with Summer League this year, Brian, is it's the first time that all 30 teams are going to be in Vegas. The Orlando Summer League is gone. They did introduce a Sacramento one, and there's a Utah one, just really small. But all 30 teams will be in Vegas this year for the first time, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's going to be great. You're going?
I'm not going this year, actually. I've been to the last three. I just came back from Malaysia here, so that was my international trip for this year, but I'll be back in business there next year. Yeah, not going to watch this one from home.
Yeah, I'm going this year. I may not go next year. I might just start doing it every other year. It's expensive, but...
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
I knew I had to go this year because, I mean, as soon as I got on it, Jaren is my favorite guy. Jaren might be my favorite prospect I've ever looked at in my life. So I have to go see Jaren. Support my child.
He's... Okay, sure. You're from a... Not... Have you seen him in person?
No, I've never seen him in person, no, because I don't really go to college games.
Fair enough.
That's just, I'd rather save my money and go see a Pacers game or something.
No.
Quality of play is better. But he is from Carmel, Indiana.
Yes,
I think. And his dad, Jaren Sr., I don't know if he's going to be next year, but he was the color analyst for the Fort Wayne Mad Ants this year.
Wow.
I didn't know that until I saw him on a game, and I was like, that looks like Jaren Jackson Sr. And then, yep, sure enough.
This draft is obviously populated by a ton of juniors, a few thirds, a couple of fourths. A really interesting development just in the amount of suffixes in this draft.
A good amount of hyphenated names.
Oh, yes.
Which are always...
Yep.
Bates Job, Gilgeous Alexander. If we're just judging people by their names, Shea Gilgeous Alexander is number one by not even close.
Yeah, no, it's
an amazing name.
Now, I know that you know it. What is the what's his full name? Because there's more to it than just that.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Shavante. I think it's Aishian, Iacian. Gilgeous Alexander. Yeah. That's an amazing name.
Yeah, it is. It is an absolute ripper.
It is top tier NBA name all time.
Yep. We're really looking forward to seeing him. And the guy can play as well. I think I've taken up enough of your time here, Brian. Go and check out Brian's Patreon, patreon.com/Cosmos. Go and follow him on Twitter, again, @Cosmos. Brian, thank you for coming on, making your first appearance on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast and wrapping up my draft preview series for this year.
Yeah, if there's anyone that you haven't talked about with Sam or Cole, then I don't know who they are.
Yeah, I think we've
got... They're not going to be important enough.
Pretty much everyone. I think that's probably... We've probably knocked out about 60 or so prospects, 65, I'd say, over the last week or week and a bit as doing these shows. So thank you, Brian, for wrapping that up for me. Check out Brian's Twitter. Check out Brian's Patreon. Thanks again for taking the time out of your day.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Grayson Allen.